You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
What does "I got five on it" mean?
It's about drugs.
It's not about drugs. It's a dope song. Don't do drugs.
Get in rhythm. There you go. There you go. Creep on in, on in, on in. Can't believe how big they've got.
Did you hear Gabe got a boat?
He's kidding, right?
He's not kidding.
Hey, I think it's vodka clock.
Oh, yeah.
Where's Jason?
Jason!
Where were you?
I didn't know if you were lost. Stick with me, and I'll keep you safe.
There's a family in our driveway.
It's probably the neighbors.
But y'all scared of a family?
Hi, can I help you?
Zora, put your shoes on.
If you want to get crazy, we can get crazy.
What are you people?
It's us.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kale Smith. Joining me this week is Tony No.
Tony, yes. Tony No, yes.
And today, Tony, what movie are we talking about?
We are talking about Us, made by Jordan Peele and company.
Oh, nice. So, with that... So for the Us podcast, we know that people are still watching the movie and people are still kind of finding the movie. And also the people that have seen it have also been still very coy about what they say because they don't want to spoil it for the people that are going to continue seeing it. But we will have a spoiler section at the end of the show. But before then, Tony, what are your non-spoiler thoughts on Us? Like general thoughts.
My non-spoiler thoughts. The first impression that the movie made to me was the cinematography of the movie in general. Just overall, every you could take any frame out of the movie and you could just have it as a picture. None of the frames look out of place. None of the frames look bad. Kind of like Spider-Verse. And that was the one thing that stuck out to me the most about the movie. Non-spoiler wise.
For me, non-spoiler wise, I really love the movie, but not just because of the craft, but also because I love the kind of the themes of it. This is a lot more dense, I would argue, than Get Out. And also, I think Jordan Peele goes from a director that... For me, the biggest problem I had with Get Out was a movie that I still very much liked. The biggest issue I had was once you saw that opening in Get Out where Lakeith Stratfield's character gets kidnapped, you kind of know what the movie is at that point, and you kind of already are just waiting for Daniel Kaluuya's character to basically catch on to what's actually going on. And yeah, that's two-thirds of the whole movie.
Yeah, because in the trailer of Get Out, they basically just spoiled the whole entire movie without like getting to what they wanted. And with Us, the trailer is just the tip of the iceberg, per se, of what the movie is.
I would even argue that the marketing campaign for this movie is an improvement on Get Out because, like you said... The Us trailers only give like a fraction of what this movie's about. It only gives you like just the bare bones ideas. And even when Jordan Peele was kind of talking about the movie, he was only just like referring to little bits and pieces of the movie. And even now, like even Peele's like, I'm not really, I'm going to let everyone kind of speculate and theorize about us. And then, you know, maybe down the road I'll talk about it. But for now, I'm just like, I'm letting everyone just kind of, you know, take it as art and then critique it as art. And then we'll come at it later.
I feel like with the marketing campaign for this movie was better, but I feel like the big appeal for Get Out was the fact that Jordan Peele he's an independent director, correct?
He's like independent in the same way M. Night Shyamalan funded the last two like Unbreakable films. He's independent in that regard, in that he made some deals with Universal to fund the films on his own, and that's how like he's been able to make like Get Out, and then ultimately because of Get Out's success, he was able to fund Us as well.
Yeah, and so the thing about Get Out was that it was an African American director, which is kind of groundbreaking at this point, because we haven't seen any other real groundbreaking movies other than, and it was along with the hype of Black Panther too. So I feel like it was a great time for Get Out to start its marketing campaign. And then Us was kind of a segue into, we know that Jordan Peele can create quality movies because we've all seen Get Out, and yeah, just overall just quality.
Yeah, and that was kind of, yeah, and so going into that, and now that he's even being ushered in as, like, the new person leading the new Twilight Zone series for CBS All Access, we now kind of get this second sophomore feature film before we get into his episodic series in the Twilight Zone. So with that, other things I really wanted to draw into is, I really love how Jordan Peele like interweaves comic relief with horror. This movie gets titled as like a horror comedy, and even Get Out gets kind of woven in as a horror comedy. I think both Get Out and Us are more horror films that just so happen to have comic relief.
I think that is a very valid statement, because can we go to spoilers yet, or is that a no-go?
Is it like a big spoiler?
Not really. It's just talking about the dad.
Okay, yeah, you can talk about it.
Okay, so the dad in the movie basically just acts like he is the epitome of comedic relief, like, because he just cracks jokes, which in a movie would just be very suspenseful, very thriller like moments, but he just makes classic jokes, and I feel like that is a big contribution to why I like the movie, and probably you too.
Well, for me, the reason why I like Winston Duke's character, Gabe, is I really love how in the movie, like, he is basically like, it's Lupita Nyong'o's story, or her character's story, Adeline's story, of how like she is there to protect her family, and Gabe is also there and does contribute, but he's the comic foil to Adeline's strong, you know, like her strength. So strengths and, you know, servitude, is that a word?
Yes it is.
So
kind of like the loyalty to her family type deal.
So that's why I really like that dynamic very well. It works. And then I like that whole family dynamic, because every family member has something to do. You don't have the little boy just jumping around in deep tension filled moments. Like, everyone's very proactive in their own way. Like the girl, she very much, you know, it's established early on that she's a track, like she runs track. So of course, you know, she runs away from her her tether, which we'll explain in just a little bit. And that gets used very well. And then, you know, it's very much, you know, there's a lot of setup and payoff with the characters. And even the little boy gets like a moment where his, where he, you know, gets a little setup moment, and then that's paid off. And that, it's great, you know, using the elements, not only of that's in your script, but also director realizing I can use this to set up, you know, this thing later, and you, but use it in a way that's not like drawing attention to it too much. In a way that's like, that's showy and look at me kind of way. And that's kind of what I like about Jordan Peele, is that he knows how to like do these certain things and then have them work in later into the story. And that's what I kind of find so creative about us is the kind of the creativity of the script and how efficient, but also laid out and well-paced everything is. Everything still breathes. Everything is laid out in perfect details of the movie. And has a finale that's just intense and scary, but also emotionally heartfelt.
Yeah, so my biggest takeaway from the plot of the movie itself is just the sheer amount of duality within the movie. Because just visually, like, you have the main thing of the tether, but you also have the quote, Jeremiah 11:11, which kind of visually represents a duality, and just the parallels between back then and today, because it's all set in the same location. It's just back then and now, which I just think the representation of pairs and doubles sticks out to me in the movie.
Yeah, I think that, well, I mean, the whole doppelganger, it's a whole doppelganger situation where you're meeting your other self, but you're meeting kind of that darker side of you, and it has manifested in a way that's, you know, completely dark and unrelenting. It's a killing machine in the same way that, you know, the creatures of It Follows are chasing you, but you can never really fully escape them because they know how you act, they know who you are, and they know your habits. They know what you'll rely on the most. You know, in terms of like trying to save, they know your weaknesses, and because they are you, they are, you know, tethered to your soul, and in a way that we'll explain in just a little bit, but still, that's kind of the crutch of the whole movie is,
yeah,
that these characters are running from essentially themselves. And they're running from manifestations of something that is lesser than, but is manifesting to try and be equal or even better than them. Yeah. And that's what is much more interesting to me about this movie going forward than other like horror movies, even horror movies that are like trying to be, they're trying to also be like deep in their themes as well.
Well, you gotta think about it. Oh, yeah, you can go.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the thing about horror movies is that usually they're not used to set up a metaphor or an allegory for the theme of the movie. They're usually just set up for pure thrill of the movie itself. Like, Don't Breathe.
Your roller coaster.
Don't Breathe was just pure, built off on your emotion, not built off on like hiding themes or stuff like that. But the thing, that's what makes this movie so interesting, is that the fact that he's able to use all these things and pieces just so that we can depict and pick from what we want to take out of the movie while as we're watching it, or after, as we're discussing, like now.
Mm-hmm. So with that, now that we've kind of talked about the movie long enough, do you want to get into spoilers? All right, so listeners, we are going into spoilers. If you haven't seen the movie, please go check it out. Tony and I both recommend it. And come back to us when you're done. If you have watched the show and you're still and you listen, continue on. We'll continue on talking. Anyway, your spoiler warning is up. 3, 2, 1. Where to begin with the spoilers?
Probably, I would say with just like the tunnel. I would talk about the tunnel system first, just or like the depth of which like the tunnels like integrates within the movie.
Okay, so all right, So the twist of the movie is that the government has cloned like a bunch of the like pretty much the entire populace of the country and tried to use these clones as basically as a way as a subtle way to control the people above in order to like you know market you know capitalize on their kind of you know basically to control the population essentially and that's the twist. However, the experiment didn't quite work. So they kind of just abandoned and hoped all of these like tethers, as they're called, would just like die away. I don't want to spoil the very ending twist, but I'll just say, like, because Red, as she's referred to in the movie, met Adeline in this, like, hall of mirrors that somehow led to the tunnels with all the tethers, because they had that encounter, it sparked essentially this, like, you know, domino effect of now we're going to spend 30-something years on basically coming out and being a part of our and being manifesting into our own rebellion. Against the country that has essentially forgotten us. The country that cloned us, that made us, that formed us, and now we're gonna, you know, strike back at them to kill our tethers and then show basically the people that have created us that we're here and we are, you know, and we're not leaving. We are just as we're Americans essentially as Red says in one of the scenes earlier in the movie.
Yeah, and
that's the crux. did I leave something out?
Oh, I was just gonna go off and say that like they say explicitly in the movie, like the tethers, they say like when the real one asks the tether, "What are you guys?" She says, "We're Americans," which goes back to one of the hiding themes of the movie, which is just inherent racism, which it's like a deeper theme, but just how racism is built into the system, like inherently built into the system, because like they serve as the metaphor of the black people who have basically just been like hidden away for so long, and now they come back to rebel, kind of like the Black Panthers and that type of deal. But that's a whole nother episode.
Right, but it's still kind of in that same ballpark in that these people were forgotten in the way that, you know, a lot of, you know, the populace in essentially, and especially like in rural areas have been forgotten and have kind of been left to fend for themselves. And now they're kind of rising up to, you know, take back what was theirs from, you know, people from the coast or people of upper or higher class. And that's where essentially the movie is kind of that metaphor of the lower class coming out and rebelling against the higher class system to become, you know, higher, more educated, especially in the scene where Elizabeth Moss's tether, after they have killed all of Elizabeth Moss' family, she goes up and puts makeup and makes herself look pretty and tries to, you know, have that accentuating look of, you know, beauty that she has imagined herself as, you know, when she was like in imagining, you know, what her tether would have been doing or all this time. And so it's, so the whole movie for most part is about, is kind of an allegory of the class system and how it's all, you know, falling apart. And unfortunately this random black family are just kind of caught in the middle of it. And primarily because Adeline basically set the domino effect of what would become the rebellion, essentially. And they even learn like later on that all these tethers have just been coming out of the, I guess the hall of the mirrors whole, yeah. and trying
the whole sewer system, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's mentioned in the movie that, you know, maybe they came from the sewers. That's possible because it's all right under California or Santa Cruz, California, essentially. Or at different, what I kind of assume is different regions of around the world. Because they
And you got to remember at the very beginning of the movie, it stated that there are thousands of miles of tunnels, which would rather be subways or whatnot under the continental United States, which quote unquote aren't being used. But we find out in the movie, they're being used for the purpose of the tethers.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, we know that, so knowing that going in, and we're following this family, let me pull up my IMDb. The Wilsons are essentially caught in the middle of this, and now they have to fight along with their children, fight a way out of Santa Cruz, and basically just fight to survive their tethers and outwit them, you know, in any way, shape, or form. And that's basically the whole movie, is it's a thriller where this family tries to outwit, you know, their doppelgangers. And there's some more unexpected twists along the way. I won't spoil the ending twist because to me, the ending twist, it makes a lot more sense the more I think about it. So I feel like the people that have seen the movie, like, it works. If you really do think about it, the whole idea of it, it works. It works in the context of the movie. Some people think it doesn't make sense. But I think if you think about like everything that's been presented to us in the movie, especially in how other characters talk, but this one person, Red, doesn't, or this one person does talk and the others don't. I think it all makes perfect sense and it goes to the other theme of the movie, which I think is this movie is a lot about nature versus nurture. And because the whole idea of the movie is that Adeline was kind of raised in an environment where she got to express herself. She got to express her true self and become in her true identity through ballet, which is of course an art form where she gets to express, you know, and basically learn how to tell her own inner demons and go through her own trauma of that experience in seeing her doppelganger. So to me, the whole movie is about nature versus nurture, where in a nurturing world, she becomes better, but in Adeline's or Red's case, she is basically raised. She's essentially raised in hell, essentially.
I mean, when you eat rabbits every day for every day, on days on end, I'd become a little bit stir crazy.
Yeah, just, and it's probably it's not even cooked rabbit. And I don't think
raw rabbit.
So it's essentially a nature versus nurture story, and I do think the ending works on that theme even better. But again, I think the two, and I'm sure there are more like themes in the movie per se of what Jordan Peele is trying to throw in, because again this movie is like Jordan Peele is like just throwing as much into the movie as possible, which is great. But the two like ones that I kind of took away is the nature versus nurture theme and the class wars, kind of the war against the classes.
Yeah, and I feel like it's a topic that divulge into if we could spoil the ending, but I feel like just like my weirdest takeaway was the white family. Do you remember their names?
Adeline, Gabe, and then the children are Zora and Jason.
No, I'm talking about the white family from
that,
like, their neighbors.
Oh, sorry. Kitty and Josh, and then their daughters, Becca and Lindsay.
Okay, so Josh, his character's his character's tether, I would say the weirdest thing is he did the thing where when the white wife was about to die, he took his stuck his hand out like he was gonna like try and help her, but then he went back and like brushed his hand through his hair, kind of like a joke, like a cruel joke. But I feel like that's I don't know where he would have learned that move, because that's more of a you learn that through society, like that's a trait that you learn through society, like jokes. But he didn't have access or the means to have learned that through his environment in the tunnel system. So that's where I'm kind of confused about. But I thought it was great comedic relief, but nonetheless.
I don't know how to answer that other than, because I mean, there are some things that don't quite make a whole lot of sense, but they're minor things. So going back, the scene where Kitty's tether sees her husband die, she has that moment of like tears, but then she goes from tears to laughter in a split second.
Well, I think that's because they just don't have pure contained emotion. Because that's something you learn by, like, it's nature versus nurture. You learn that through nurture, through parent, through like a family, to like control your emotions. And it's not just a primitive trait that you pick up.
Okay, all right, I'll buy into that. What else? What else can we say spoiler-wise? I love the motif of the hands across America, especially when, you know, that when it's realized like the reason why the tethers are basically wearing red is because it's red on the shirt that Adeline wore in her, you know, on her clothes. Like that's the shirt that she got. Like that's the characters on the shirt. And she saw like unity, like, you know, we're all going to unify by wearing red in the same way the people above did for the, you know, Hands Across America campaign did.
Yeah. And I, one of the funny things that I saw was that, or not funny, but one of the things I noticed was that the scissors that they used to kill everybody, they were gold. And with gold usually represents wealth and the like the upper class per se, but the golden scissors were used to kill the upper class, kind of like a clashing classes, basically.
Right. Yeah, you can even read that as, you know, like that gold that they have, that weapon they have, is power, and this is them using their power to strike against, you know, their privileged tethers. And this is how they're going to you know, fight back. On the other hand, you know, you can also read it as they use these old scissors to, you know, make craft, to keep themselves entertained or something. Because that's all they had. Or it's, you know, because it's very, like, it's a very sharp metal, it was used to cut up, like, the fur off of bunnies or something.
Or to, like, yeah, defur them and so they could eat for dinner every night.
Yeah, they could.
30 years.
Yeah, they could cut the hide off of the bunny so they can just eat the straight up meat.
Yeah.
I have to mention, this is a scary movie. This is, I mean, even that first, like, opening of the movie where Adeline is a young child back in 1986, like, she's just walking on the beach and she's all by herself. And I mean, just everything is just creepy about it, with the, like, with, like, the thunder and lightning going off in the distance, and as she's just walking on the beach in the dark, and then she just stumbles upon, like, this hall of mirrors, as you will, and it's just completely dreadful and scary, and it all leads to this, you know, traumatizing moment for both, for her.
So it does help that there was a packed movie theater when we saw the movie, so...
It totally helps. This is a great movie to go with a crowd. This isn't, you know, a quiet place where you have the teenagers behind you commenting on every little thing, and also saying at the last, like, minute of the movie, like, this movie's terrible. This isn't that kind of movie. This is the kind of movie where I think everyone can enjoy the film, even if they're not looking for, like, the cerebralness of it.
Oh yeah, if you're just watching the film for the film, it's a quality film. It's just that Jordan Peele's extra level of depth that he adds to each of his movies is what makes the film the film. Because again, think about it, like, Us is a metaphor. It's a literal acronym. What's it called when it's like Us, like Us spell something? I forgot what it's called.
You mean an analogy or an acronym?
It's like an anagram?
Anagram, maybe?
Yes, an anagram. So Us could serve as an anagram for the United States. Basically just like saying this is the embodiment of what the social classes of the United States are. And yeah, just everything about the movie you can trace back to a deeper meaning.
Yeah, and I think that's the most clever part about the movie, is you can, you know, watch it as just as a, you know, as an artful critique of society and how, you know, the class system has failed a group of people for a very long time, or even a part of our country for a very long time.
Yeah.
So in the end, I think Jordan Peele has a lot more to say in Us, and I think it's different enough from Get Out to where, you know, people won't be like, he's just commenting on the same things, you know, much like today, like as of this recording, the honest trailer for every Tim Burton movie has come out, and watching that nearly gave me, like, you know, deja vu the whole time, because it's just Tim Burton just is saying the same thing after 18 movies.
Yes.
And here's, you know, Jordan Peele creating two very completely different movies that are doing two completely different things and doing it very successfully.
The thing about this movie as opposed to Get Out is that Get Out, it was very expected. Like, you expected the family to turn, you expected the black guy to win. It was just, there was nothing that was up to the interpretation of the watcher in terms of what's going to happen next. But in Us, there's so many different plots, plot twists, that you're just kind of like, or not plot twists, but like mirages that lead to deeper meanings that you would have expected in Get Out, which which shows how much he's how much Jordan Peele's developed as a filmmaker in terms of what to add to a movie and things like that.
Yeah. So with that, I mean, what else can we say about Us that, you know, hasn't been said yet?
I mean, to get a good grip on how the movie's going to be is watch it yourself. Yeah, you just have to watch it yourself. It left me in a state of this, like trying to go through and dissect what happened in the movie. That's how I felt through the post movie. Is, oh, I need to figure out why all of this stuff was happening in terms of the social aspects of in correlation to society.
Okay. Yeah, that's how I would say it too. I would actually just refer to my own tweet about it after coming out, is that this is a movie that, you know, if you're a horror fan and you just want to see, you know, the horror movie of the week or month, this is perfect for you.
Probably the year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's going to be other horror movies of, you know, come out this year.
I mean, but that's, I feel like this one's the one that has the most critical acclaim to it.
Okay. I mean, like, I'm kind of referring to, like, you know, if you want to, like, if you're just coming out to check out the, you know, movie of the week, the horror film of the week.
Oh, or, yeah.
Then, you know, this is good. This is a really good film for you to check out. But if you're also into cerebral horror of the A24 caliber, this is also good for you. This is a horror movie where I think every horror fan can kind of, you know, every horror fan alike can, you know, have fun with it and take something away from it. And I think that's the power of Jordan Peele as a director, is making a horror film that hits like the four quadrants of the different, like, you know, circle, the different like groups of, you know, horror fans that are out there. So kudos to Jordan Peele. And I wish, and I hope that Twilight Zone is really good. I really hope
it's really good. I hope it's Black Mirror, but better.
Yeah. Anyway, so with that, Tony, where can people find you on Twitter?
At TonyNo_01 or on Instagram at TheTonyNo. And yeah, those are my social medias. Or you can find me on LinkedIn.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Movie Kale. You can also follow the show at The Youth Critic, and then you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHZ Network. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with you very soon with either a Shazam review or a Dumbo review. We'll flip a coin. Yeah, we'll probably. Yeah, after seeing that honest trailer, I'm like, God,
you'll have to do the Shazam one. I'm stepping out of the Shazam one.
Right. I just don't want. Now I'm like, oh God. Now you're right. Dumbo's gonna be the same movie as every other Tim Burton movie. Dang it. All right. Well, with that, thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back very soon.
They look exactly like us. They think like us. They know where we are. We need to move and keep moving. They won't stop until they kill us. Or we kill them.